Today I want to, I don't think we'll be able to finish a lot of makaros here, discuss the topic of pluralism in halacha. Everyone thinks Orthodox Jews aren't pluralistic, but they're 100% wrong. We're just not pluralistic about Yetzirah, but we're very, very pluralistic within the realm of Torah Judaism. As a matter of fact, right? Everyone knows the Gemara in Erevin, number one. We also saw this in a different context. Amar Rav Shmuel, Shalosh Nech Lubisham Beishilah Halolo Amar Loch Moseinu Halolo Amar Loch Moseinu Yatsa Baskel Beamar El Veil Jor Lekim Chaim Hei Valoch Beishilah. Right? Says in the Forsha Baskel came out and says Beisham Beishilah was taken by care of one another, but they were all within the realm of traditional Judaism. So the Baskel was pluralistic. It says El Veilu Divrei Lekim Chaim. Even though it passed in one way. But somehow they're both really the true shot in the Torah, right? Divrei Elokim Chayim means that that's really what Hashem meant when He gave the Torah. We have the Gemara in Chayim, that also appears in Yevamos, that same exact story. In Chagiga, they say the same thing, but they have a more descriptive way of saying it. Bali Asupos, they're darshaning a pasuk in Mishlei, I believe. Elohim Mishlei, Shios, Asupos, Asupos, for Oskim Torah. Bali Asupos, Artimei Acham, sit in groups and learn Torah. Halolo Matamen, Velo Matarin, Halolo Osma, Lo Matirin, Halolo Posma, Lo Machirin. Shema Yomer Adam Heyachani, Lo Matar Me'ata. If someone says, how am I supposed to learn? This actually happens to some people. We're not brought up with a very yeshivish understanding of Torah learning. You know, all of a sudden they want to learn about Torah, you know, they become from whatever they want to learn, and they hear that everyone always argues on everything. They're like, you know, I became from because I thought there was a simple answer to everything. And it turns out that everything's about chokas. So what's that? So the Gemara is that hafamina. All right, you might say, how can I learn? What's the point? No one knows what they're talking about anyway. Tam alomer kulam nitin merachat. It's not that no one knows what they're talking about, it's that they all know what they're talking about. Right? Because they're all nitin merachat means kelachat nastan, parnas echad omrom, odun kol maisim barachu, they're all from Hashem. Dechzeb, we're dyking the pasuk, by dabul kemes kol hadvarim ha'ila. Could have said hadvarim ha'ila, meant the Ten Commandments. Kol hadvarim ha'ila comes to Yimar, but all the conflicting interpretations. Afata asa yaznacha kafar cheses, make your ear like a. I think an afar cheses is like a big funnel-like thing they have on top of a mill, meaning it gets a lot of things in it. It's called a hopper, I think. Get a leiv maven and understand both shitas. Right? This is like the modern-day yeshivish method, or the brisker method, or whatever you call it, that you don't just try to prove which of the Rishonim is right and which of them is wrong, like if you're the Shagas Aryeh, but you try to understand the lumdus of both sides of the machlokas. So that's not something which is invented by 20th century Yeshivish people. That's what Chazal say in Maseches Chagiga, that they're both Dvar Hashem, and therefore you have to learn up both Shitas properly with the Leiv Maven. We also see this concept of the realm of Machshava, although we'll have to figure out whether it's really the same concept or not, in number three, or at least in the realm of Parshanot. Dechseva Tizna Lov Pilag Shom. Rabbi Yavyasar Omar Zvov Matzalah, Rabbi Yavyasar Omar Nima Matzalah. Why did, right, the exciting parts of Pilagish begin to start after the guy kicks out his Pilagish, right? But why did he kick out his Pilagish in the first place? We assume, for various reasons, that it doesn't mean because of Mamishnus. So either he found a Zvov, or he found a Nima. Ashki Rabbi Yavyasar Eliyahu Omar Limakar Rekosh Baruch Hu. Vyasar Es Eliyahu, what's Hashem holding in? Omar Limakar Rekosh Baruch Hu, he happens to be up to that. Yeah, so yeah, okay. It's all not so yeshivish that Hashem was learning Tanakh. But he was up to that parak in Shoftim. Okay, so which way did he say? Like me or like Rav Yonasan? Hashem was learning up Shoftim, and he said, the pshat of Rav Yasser and the pshat of Rav Yonasan. Come on, can Hashem not know the truth? No, it's not that Hashem didn't know, it's that they're both right. Right? Haynes, Zvov Matzvot, and Nima Matzvot. It was really both, right? First he found a Zvov, but that was not that he could handle. Then a Nima, and that he could not handle. Amar Yehuda, why Zvov Akar and Nima Osamakam? Either because the Zvov he can handle, because that was in his dish of food she served him, which is disgusting to have a Zvov in it, but not the end of the world. Nima means Va'osamakam. In the old days, you see throughout Shas, that Seir Va'osamakam was considered the worst thing in the world in a woman. They were very, very makbid. They're very, very machbid on removing it. So in that, since it was a more intimate kind of setting, was the real problem. That straw that broke the camel's back, or Zvob miyasus miyusakanta, or because Zvob knocks it's a more intimate, sensitive setting, because Zvob is only an aesthetic problem. The Nima is a sakana problem. This also Not exactly sure how to explain this based on modern science, but it was it's mefurish all over Shas that it's not just an aesthetic thing, that if the woman does have hair, but also makom, it could be a sakana, and I don't know if it could kill you, but it could make the man a krushafa. Again, I'm not sure how to explain modern science, but that's a tangent at this point. Or, no, they were both in the food. You know, it was a zvov and a hair that fell off her head into the food. But the zvov is not her fault because it flies on its own, and the nima is her fault because, you know, it doesn't move on its own. Fine. The point is that also here, they were both right in the eyes of Hashem. Now, but we're going to see how to come back to that. Let's just start with the basic philosophical problem. The basic philosophical problem is that it's saying they're both the words of Hashem, right? Hashem meant both of them. Now, okay, Tanach in Agadta and in Parshanot, you know, you can mean two things, right? Meaning, Machlok is a Nima versus Vav, and maybe they both happened. Could be, right? Machlok is a Pasuk, like, did the story happen this way, that way? Maybe it happened both ways. Two things can happen. But in Halach, it's not so Pasha, right? If something... In Parshanot, no problem. You know, I don't know. All right, come up with a good example. You want this yesterday? I don't know. Did you interpret the pasuk to mean I tripped on the way to work, or that I had a coffee on the way to work? They both could have happened, right? But in halacha, if something usher and mutter, it can't be usher and mutter simultaneously, right? Something could either be usher or be mutter. It can't, like, first be usher and then be mutter. That's not the way halacha works. Halacha's not stories. Halacha's halachas. So how can really they both be the words of Hashem? How can they both shitas really be right in halacha if they're ace, unlike in Parshanot in number 3, if in halacha they're ace dira gemur, the same thing, can't be usher and mutter. That's a classic philosophical problem. And I want to start with the day of the perhaps a minority day in the Achronim, because it's not the pashuk shot of the sugyas that says, Taka, you're right, don't take it literally, it doesn't really mean that they're both right. And that is one of the three answers of the Chidah. The Chidah gives three answers, we'll have to go through all of them. But one of his answers is very radical in terms of how not radical he's willing to be. Look at number 4, I didn't have the Chidah on the Bar Ilan, so I just, you know, the oldest trick in the book, if you something on the Bar Ilan, just find someone else who quotes him, who is on the Bar Ilan. Usually that person is Rav Avadia. But every once in a while it's someone else, right? Like most Sfarim that are not in the Bar Ilan, you can find someplace in the Yavia Omer. But here it's the Zivchei Tzedek, which is a Rebbe of Rav Avadia. He says, Baravki does help save the Pesach, and I'm says, Bum and Seal Dafayim Beis. You can look it up if you want. Bidim Raskol and Halach Kamosi. Hey, the Gimel Tevut Smazev, Zelo Shonashon. Mash Amri Il Vidil Kachayim, Havu Bakamoy. Right, have like a voice where they ask kashas on it. Eich yitokan eil eil jivril kim chayim, v'alo mishayin alokam osu lo dibe nechona. One of them is right, one of them is wrong. We might not ever be able to tell who's right and wrong, right? Maybe we should respect both sides as if, you know, they were right, because we're not God, and we're never going to know whether Yosef's right or Shlomo Zalman's right. So we should respect all of them. But theoretically, there can't both be right. V'amr rishonim... And what's his first answer? He quotes from Rishonim. I don't know which Rishonim this is. Diyan de'ein ha'or nikr el mitocha choshech. Since ein or nikr el mitocha choshech. Va'emesei nikr el mitocha sheker. You can't really appreciate the or unless you contrast it with the choshech. You can't really appreciate the emes unless you contrast it with the sheker. Kein hadavar azat. Likewise, this is it. It's like, this is the oldest trick in the book. A guy comes over and wants to say a big lumdish chish. And you're not sure if it makes any sense. Like, maybe he's just, like, talking jargon. Like, sometimes people do yeshivas nowadays. So what do you ask a guy? Talmud comes over and says, oh, I have a big chiddush, that this is a din and that, whatever it is. Right? And is he really saying something very intelligent? Or is he just, like, using jargon and code words that he picked up, that he heard his Rebbe quote once from Rav Elchanan and think they mean something? So one of the way to tell is obvious. Say, ah, you're saying it's this as opposed to what? And if you can tell me, as opposed to you might have thought it's this, but it's really that, then he knows what he's talking about. He says, I'm not sure, then he doesn't really know what he's talking about. Because if you don't know as opposed to what, then you haven't said anything yet. So that's what he does say. To understand the MS, you have to know what the other option was, and then you can appreciate why the other option is wrong, what this is trying to tell us, etc. You can't understand the true Shita, except by contrast with the false Shita, That's why the Medrash, Hashem told Moshe both sides of the Machlokas. Why? Because he told him, this is the right side of the Machlokas. But to understand what it means, you have to understand the wrong side of the Machlokas, and then you'll see the contrast and you'll know what I'm telling you. First answer, through the Svar HaDechuya comes the, can you build the Svar HaMitas? And that's, so what's the Chidah saying? He's saying, they're not really both right. One Shita is MS, one Shita is Sheker. Going back to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel was MS, and Beis Shammai was Sheker. What does it mean, Elu Elokim Chayim? It means that, from an intellectual learning perspective, understanding Beis Hillel's MS is just as important for understanding Beis Hillel's MS, as is understanding Beis Shammai's Sheker Shita is also understanding for important for understanding the MS of Beis Hillel. To understand the MS of Beis Hillel, you have to know what they said that's MS, and contrast it with what Beis Shammai says that's Sheker. So it's not a philosophical problem. There's one sheet to MS, one sheet to Sheker. Again, we don't always know, because we don't have a Pasco. But the Machlokes Rambam and Tosfos, could be Tosfos is MS, and the Rambam is Sheker. Abai and Rava. Rava, not Yalkigam. Rava is MS, Abai is Sheker. But mitzad intellectual academic limud, it's just as important to understand Abaye's Rava, because you won't understand Rava without understanding Abaye. Right? This is often, this is what Lichtenstein does often when he gives the Gemara Shirim. Right? He says, you want to have a Chakira on how to understand what Rava says in the Gemara. So what do? You start with what Abaye says. You say, he's making two assumptions. Which of those assumptions is Rava arguing on? Then you can figure out the Rama holds A, Professor B. To understand the Shita we Paskin like, from a Lima perspective, you have to know the other Shita. But philosophically, one is right and one is wrong. Old fashioned. No chidushim here. Just the wrong sheet is important from a limud perspective. So we'll get to the answer of that soon enough. In 2 months in the Sechaz Yivamos, and the Gemara says explicitly why. Because not like you think. You're being overly liberal here. You think it means that Beis Hillel was willing to marry Beis Shammai, and then you say, "Oh, it's good enough for you, good enough for us." No, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says because in the old days they had something which they don't have nowadays anymore. It's like the chilazon, but it was called politeness. And what Beis Shammai would do is that whenever they want to make a shidduch with Beis Hillel, they would tell the Beis Hillel guys, you know, this girl's not a good shidduch for you because she doesn't work for your shita, but this girl's a good shidduch for you because she works for your shita. And that's why they were able to marry each other. But Beis Hillel always kept their shita. They just married because they had politeness and they cooperated with each other and they understood that, you know, they had to be accommodating towards one another. Okay.
Even Bishas, they were the Bar Plukta, the Chidah is saying that they were Sheker?
Yeah. Now, they didn't know. Obviously, at the time, Beis Shammai thought they were MSB Silva Sheker, and everyone has to do the best they can, right? But, meaning, everyone has to do the best they can.
It's only historic, so it's only Lamafia we can say this.
Right, at the time, how are you supposed to know? If they knew they were Sheker, they would have changed their mind. Right? Lamafia we can know, and sometimes even Lamafia we can't know. We can just take our best guess. Right? Do we really know that we paskin like the Rashba against the Rambam in terms of how Malicha works? No, but that's our best guess and we go with it. Right? But that's, you know, that's okay. We're taking our best guess. But this is really one Shita, really a Sheker. Take, if really the Rashba's right, then the Rambam Shita really is Sheker. I know, it's not a yeshivish thing to say. And it's for good reason, because this is a Das Yachid. It doesn't sound like that's all the Gemara means. The Gemara sounds like they're saying something more philosophically interesting than that. But that's what the Chidah says, and he's absolutely right. If you want to learn something intellectually, you learn a subject, you can't understand the Shita we Paskin like, unless you contrast with the Shita we don't Paskin like. But he's saying that's all there is. After that, there's MS and Sheker. Black and white, old-fashioned.
And how does it cross about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how does this work with the
Shita
of Love
of the Halacha like Beis Shammai? Yeah, it's not so partial as Love of the Halacha like Beis Shammai. That might be a Medrash like that. A lot of the Afronim say they don't like that. Say that that might even be against the Rambam, Zikarim, etc. Not so partial as Love of, not so partial the pig will be kosher, not so partial the Halacha will be like Beis Shammai. You know, and even if it's true, sometimes it's not meant literally. It doesn't necessarily have to mean it's false. Just like Loss of Lavo, you know, the pig being kosher might be meant metaphorically. Okay. It means the Pope will get a bris milah or something. Okay. That's one Shita, the Chidah. Rav Moshe is willing to be a little more bold than the Chidah. Rav Moshe is willing to be a little more bold than the Chidah. And this is, I just have to mention this is it's very, very fascinating to read the Hakdamah. Hakdamahs are always good, right? We saw that Dom Lakatos was very interesting, that Dom Lasiv was also interesting, Dom Shara Yosher is interesting, that Dom the Igros Moshe is very fascinating, nice and short. He writes famously that Ramosha writes in that Dom the Igros Moshe, he writes, for many, many years he refused to publish his tshuvas. He kept a record of all of them, but he refused to publish his tshuvas. Why? Because he says he was afraid of making a mistake. What if he made a mistake? So then he'd be machshel the rabbim, and when he goes up after his mei'ev esrim, and even he'll continue after his mei'ev esrim, right? He'll have to get an onus for everyone who did the wrong thing because he wrote the wrong thing in the tshuva. So he says, well, then why did I answer the shilas in the first place, right? So he says, no, that's different. He says, there's a gemara that says, right? Ki rabbim chalol mei piwa. What's that? It's a pasuk that if you're a gilo ra, you're not allowed to not be, you have to be mora. It says, when I get up to Shemayim, if Hashem will ask me, Mrs. Schwartz wrote you in a shayla, you wrote a tshuva wrong, why'd you do that? I'll say, because you wrote in your Torah that anyone who's a gilo ra has to paskin. I was a gilo ra, so I did my best. I can't have kindness on me. But if I go up to Shemayim, Hashem says, ah, but why'd you publish it in a book for 1,000 other people who never asked you a shayla? Then I'll have no excuse. Right? So I didn't have to publish in a book for 1,000 other people. That's not a chiyuv al pidin. You're not chayiv doing a farseim halachas for people who never ask for shaylas. So then I'll be chayiv. So at first he didn't write it. Okay, I mean, obviously that's not really a good svar, because then why did all the Rishonim and Achronim write that publish their tshuvas? But in the end, you know, and again, I don't know how literally it meant, like first he really thought. But in the end, he says, you remember the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuflam and Amin Aleph, right? The Kana Rabbanim and Komosh Rabbi Elazar, I'm skipping to six, how you course and eats and lasses, become and lasses, bars of Shabbos, right? Rabbi Elazar, we all know, very legend of Mila, night compared to Shabbos, holds Machshir and Mila's Docha Shabbos. So, in the Makkah, Rabbi Elazar, they would cut down trees to make charcoal to fire up the furnace to smelt metal to make knives on Shabbos. Forget about like what it says in the Mishnah that like you're like carry the knife to Rosh Hashanah. No, they would cut down trees. And then it, goes through a whole discussion here. And the Rav Moshe actually makes a crazy chiddush. He says, hold on a second. Tainach, in the muck of Rabbi Eliezer, they would carry the knife through the street on Shabbos. Because you don't always remember to bring the knife to the baby's house before Shabbos, or it's not convenient, whatever. But like, didn't they have a knife in town? Like, maybe they had to sharpen a knife on Shabbos. They had no knives in town. And even if they had knives in town, they had no charcoal in town to smelt metal. And even if they had no charcoal, they had no wood in town. The whole town had no wood. They'd start chopping down trees on Shabbos. But it must have taken them like from the morning till 5 minutes before Shkia to get the knife. So Rav Moshe says, a crazy chiddush. He says, no, to show their chiva for Mila when a baby was born on Shabbos, the next Friday they would take all their knives and all their charcoal and all their wood and bring them far away, send them far away to the next town so they wouldn't have any on Shabbos. So they'd have to start chopping down trees to make charcoal, to smelt metal to make knives, do the Mila on Shabbos. All right. That's a very radical thing to do. Anyway, so, obviously we don't possibly have really Eliezer. And Rav Moshe says, you might have the Havmina, I mean, you wouldn't, because you know the Gemara, but someone might have the Havmina that, you know, for all this extraneous Chol Shabbos, that they would be also Litin and Sadin. But the last second paragraph here says, Rav Yisrael, Rav Yerachas, Haisav, Rav Yisrael, also for Eliezer, but you may some Zmanim, they all live to a ripe old age. No one died young. They got exempted from the persecution against Bris Mila, right? All the other Jews couldn't do Bris Mila, but as a reward for their dedication to Bris Mila on Shabbos, they were allowed to do Bris Mila. So everyone says, what's Pshat? So obviously, Pshat is that even though Rabbi Eliezer was wrong, it was still a mitzvah for his townspeople to follow him. That's the way halacha works. Even if you say the wrong, even if you paskin wrong, it's not an aveira if everyone follows you. It's a mitzvah if they follow you. Therefore, when Eliezer got to Shemayim, he didn't get punished for all the chol Shabbos he caused. He got his achos for being zocha everyone in the chiba of the mitzvah of Mila. So he says, so too. He says, if I write these tshuvas, you know, whoever follows me, even if I'm wrong, well, it'll be a mitzvah, not an aveira, and therefore only gets achos and all the habanet. That's why he published the Rishmosha, and that's good for all of us. But what is he? How does he explain this philosophy? Number five. Emes lahorok far nemer lo b'shemayim. He explains it based on what we learned a couple of weeks ago. That there's two levels of MS. There's the theoretical truth, and there's the practical truth. Right? MS lohora, on the level of practical truth, is lo b'shamayim hi. Practical truth, Hashem left it up to us. Right? Not for every reformer, you know, every reformer. But if it's a chacham who's Ian Karoy, Shas and Poskim, and Kovid Roshan Yerim Hashem Yisparach, the Nirlo Shekinu Psaka Din, and seen the Psaka, who Ames Loho Ra, that is true for practical purposes, Umuchoyim Lohoros Kane, and he has to pass in that way, even if Abin Shemayim, theoretically, he's wrong, he's Sheker. That's why Eilu Eilu Dirlokim, why is Eilu Eilu Dirlokim Chayim? Abin Shemayim, one of them is Dirlokim Eilokim Chayim, and the other one is Sheker. But down here on earth, once Hashem was v'chadish lo b'shamayim, he, for practical purposes, you know, there's like two levels of truth. A lot of philosophers debate nowadays, what does truth really mean, right? Do you find truth more practically, or do you find truth more theoretically? Without getting into details, he says, no, there's two kinds of truth. There's klapish ma'egalia truth, where one is emes, one is sheker. And then there's earthly, how practical, halacha truth, and in terms of practical halacha truth, as long as you follow the process properly and you came up with your qualified person, you came up with a reasonable psak, lo b'shamayim di. And that's why, and then, ilo b'ilokim divilokim chayim achshol, lo nera peyash gosh apaz lo yistir l'dvar, right, no steer to you anywhere that you must be. Kabbal shkala or asar she'emes in kreishol. Even though the theoretical emes is against you, theoretically you're sheker, but practically you're emes. So that's two achronim who say that really philosophically there's only one truth up in shamayim, right? Here's the question is, right? What does Hashem hold in Shemayim, and what does Eilu Ve'Eilu mean? So one shot is the Chidah in his first answer. I admit, he has three answers. I'm only quoting the first, because that's the only answer to the Chidah that I don't know where it is in the Rishonim. In Shemayim, he says, only one Deya is right, right? One is wrong. So what does Eilu Ve'Eilu mean? Right? That you need to learn both to understand the correct data. That was the Chidah. Rav Moshe, in the Igros Moshe, says also, Abin Shemayim, Klapi Shemayim Galia, what do you mean? There's an Emes and there's a Shekhin. There's a right answer to everything. We just don't have access to it. Hashem knows the answer. What is it? Right? That's the real MS. MS Klape Shmaya. Right? MS Klape Shmaya Galia. But there's also something called MS Lehora that practically they're both truly valid psakim. Right? They're both true in terms of being a practically valid psak. That's what Eilu Ve'Eilu Dirlokim Chayim mean. They're both authorized psakim within the system, even though one guy got it wrong, one guy got it right. What Rav Moshe and the Chidah have in common is that they're not willing to make any philosophical chidusha about the nature, real truth. Really, one guy's right, one guy's wrong. It's just that there's some other nice thing about both shitas. Either intellectually it's worth learning them both, or for practical purposes, they're both equally valid. No, meaning at the time, right? At first, you always pass the line both of them until you resolve it, right? I mean, at first, the Relezer was town pass like Relezer, the other Chacham is town pass like them, until it eventually came to a vote or a consensus. So what he's saying is that when Relezer first issued his Orah for his town, that was true for his town. And when the Chachamim issued their psak for the psakim for the other cities, that was true for the other cities. Then eventually, we all started following the Chachamim. But it means that, like, they're really pluralistic. What's true for people in America who follow Rav Moshe is different than what's true for people in Israel who follow Rav Shlomo Zalman. But not because up in Shemayim, there's a different Shemayim. No, up in Shemayim, Rav Moshe's right and Rav Shlomo Zalman's sheker, or vice versa. But for practical purpose down here on earth, everyone has their own truth based on what their posik said if he was a qualified posik.
The Rambam talks about the Chas V'Shalom say such a thing. That really one of them is right, and the only reason they didn't have a focus is because some people erred along the way. Is that what Chida is saying?
No, the Rambam says anything that was a halacha moshe Sinai, there can't be a machlokas because they would have remembered. The Rambam admits things that are totally on svara, there could be a machlokas. Why not? there's not chas v'shalom. The Rambam says, yeah, anything holy in svara, of course it's going to be a machlokas. You have to try to figure out the svara. And the Rambam doesn't say, to the best of my knowledge, how you can wear it. The Rambam just means, if it's halacha moshiach, it's tefillin are black, or the tefillin are pink, you know, that chas v'shalom, what do you mean? That's not a matter of svara, that's not a matter of thinking, that's a matter of sorrow.
Could this possibly be a hazmer for instances or when we see tension between hanhagos like al pi kabbalah and things that are more in the world of nigla?
Meaning that the kabbalah is more klapei shmaya galia and the nigla is more could be. It's still a little funny that, well, now that we know the kabbalah, you know, but it could be that no, that where Moshe says, look, but Hora depends on Nigla, not on Nistar. So it could be in Ram, maybe someone had some insight through prophetic means or semi-prophetic means, Lahora, that tells you something, but that doesn't change. Even if you know you're, that's like a Baskel. In Ram.
Well, I've heard him say that there are no theorists. It just happens to be a lot of times people misunderstand the Nigla, misunderstand this, misunderstand both. Why wasn't Nigla bothered by the fact that there's a disunity between the Torah and Shemaya and the Torah and Lahora?
Because he was a practical kind of person. Do you ever read his Tshuvas?
Wouldn't he be bothered by the fact that Hashem would create a Torah? He wouldn't create it in a way where everything is fractured?
No, that's not fair, because that's the exact same question in a different Lavush as Hashem created the world. Why is there evil in it? Why couldn't Hashem create it just good? No, ultimately, it boils down to the question of when Hashem created an Olam Hazeh, which is a Hester of the ultimate truth of himself, how come there's an Olam HaSheker?
No,
the answer is...
I
don't know the answer to that question.
This is all within the Torah. Okay.
Apparently, it doesn't bother him.
One of the answers to that question, why there is evil in the world, is he does answer to this question as well. And if there was no evil, we wouldn't be able to appreciate good.
Perhaps.
Are
the Chida and Echnan.
Are both Ramosha and Chida working with Machlokasim that are found in Chazal and the Gemara, as well as Rishonim and Achronim?
That is a fascinating question. I know Rav Schefter discussed that on a number of occasions. Is Elu Be'elu the same? In the belt, they assume Elu Be'elu is the same for Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe as it is for Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. That's what they assume in the belt. And I've even seen it written up in some Svarim, although you know, there aren't a lot of Svarim about this. It's not so posh. You could theoretically be Mechalei between Tanoim and Amorim, or between Chazal and post-Chazal. But in the belt, philosophically, they assume it's the same basic idea. And let's stick with that for now. What? Ramosha, obviously, right, correct. Meaning Ramosha assumes the same for him as it is for Beisol Beishamai, right? He takes the words of Beisol Beishamai and is applying it ultimately to him. So he obviously assumes the same. I know Rav Schefter likes to say otherwise, but that's not what they assume. In the Velt, they assume it's the same. And that makes sense because philosophically, like, the philosophy should be the same 2,000 years ago or nowadays. You could get out of that. I'll be simple, Pshat. It's a philosophical Indian. Shouldn't really change between the Tanakh and the Amoraim and the Rishonim. Okay, now let's see some of the other answers that Chida quoted. There's a famous Masorah from the Bali Tosfos. It says now, if you remember back we saw the name of Chida, he interpreted the source of the Bali Tosfos differently. But says the Bali Tosfos in number 7, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, the Ritva. There's a famous quote in the Ritva. It's actually even found in Bali Tosfos. It's in the Tosfos Shantz on Adios, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the Tosfos Shantz on Adios on the Bar Ilan. You know, on the side of Adios in the Rabbeinu Chananel slot, there's a Tosfos Shantz. So it's in the Tosfos Shantz on Adios, and I don't know, probably in Xaviat and some other Tosfos works. But it's famous in the Ritva, because everyone always had the Ritva in Erev and Mor. The Ritva is the Elev Adelim Kachim. Shalom Renit Sarfazal. Renit Sarfazal, obviously being Bali Tosfos. Heyach after you, Shneim Divrei Elokim Chayim. How could they both be right? Ze Elzer Ze Matya. Okay, classic philosophical question. Tirtzu. Kiksha Ola Moshe Lamaro Lekabel Torah. When Moshe went up to get the Torah, Heru Lo Kol Dover Dover, Mentes Pon Lister, Mentes Pon Lahatir. Moshe went up to get the Torah. They showed him, he could time it this way, 49 ways, and that way, 49 ways. Like, Mamash Alitvish Yeshiva experience. Vesholo Kodesh Baruch Hu Alzeh. And he said to Hashem, you know, what's pshat? Like, I thought up here in Shemayim we would get some clarity finally. No, there's 49 times this way, 49 times that way. It's like the Chacham invoked, and Achri Rabim lehatos. Okay, I don't understand the Emes Tam Sobadover he's referring to. He doesn't give us much to work with here. He's a proper Kabbalist who doesn't give us much to work with if we're not already in the Kabbalah. But nachon from the Fiyah Hadash, that's the Derech of Bali Tos, also the Tosh Shans and Adios. And the Makor is in the Yerushalmi. It's a few places in Eders, the oldest Makor in Chazal is number 8, Yerushalmi Sanhedrin. Dini, Mamanus, Matan, etc., right? That's where all the good philosophy is, and we mentioned the same Yerushalmi, just the next line in it last week. The first line. Ilu nitna Torah chatukalois lo regalam midah. Ma tamay derashon sheh. Amr lefanav yibonu shalolam. Hodieni heichi halacha. Moshe said, Moshe shalom, what's the halacha? Amr leich rab mahatos. You vote. Rabu mzak and zaku, rabu mchayim and chivu. Kadesh yator and vesh mentas panam tam, mentas panam tahar. Shem said, let them vote, because it is 49 ways you could tie in tamay, 49 ways you could tie in tar. Minyan of vidiglo alayava. Chinu amr, mishem, mishtoros, ketzim, sarfa, alulars, mzukach, shivasayim. Meaning there's 49 ways. Shiva Sayim is a remez for 7 sevens. The Amr Misharim Ahivucha. Okay, so this is the mucker of the Tosos that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, Hashem didn't give him a hakra. He said you could tie into one way, you could tie into the other way. And again, this is not unlimited pluralism, obviously. Hashem didn't say you could tie into that I don't exist. But within the realm of Torah, Hashem said you could tie into this way, you could tie into the other way. Let the Chachamim vote. So the Ritva says this is the Tosos, really. At least the Pshat of the Tosos, right? The Pasha Pshat of the Tosos. I think maybe there's something else. Says, okay, what does Hashem hold up in Shemayim? Right. The answer is he had no preference. Right. Apparently, Hashem has no preference up in Shemayim.
What do we say
on Macher Telebot? Okay. Good question. Hashem apparently has no preference up in Shemayim. Right? Hashem said you can do one way, you do the other way. You know, let the Chachamim vote on it. I'm not going to prejudice it. I'm not going to tell you the answer. Right? So, at least the Pashup Shad, Hashem has no preference up in Shemayim. Then, of course, it makes sense how we could both be right. Because the answer is that there is no real truth up in Shemayim. The truth up in Shemayim is that it's a Chinese menu, right? Is that you can choose one of these options. The truth up in Shemayim is that you have to be within the realm of the Masorah and use the proper process of learning the proper texts. And then all the options are equally valid, right? Hashem is actually pluralistic. And in which case, this makes perfect sense. Eilu ve'ilu is obvious because Hashem said, either way is okay. Hashem said, either way, you guys pick what you want. You know, you want to pick one way, fine, or the other way, fine. They're both equally good in my eyes. Now, this is a bit of a chiddush. I'm not going to reread 9 and 10 with you because we really did those. I mean, this is only if we hadn't already seen the Makoros, 2 Makoros sheets ago. But the Chavos Yor already points out, and he's quoting really the Drash Aran, that this whole derech, he says, this whole derech doesn't make sense if you hold their Tamei Mitzvos, right? I mean, this whole derech, really, first of all, Eliyahu says, then why are we always nervous in halacha, right? I understand. According to the Chida, I understand why we're nervous. There's an emes and there's a sheker. It's cute that it's very nice that in intellectual context they're both important. But one is Chaim and one is Mavis. For emotion, I also understand why we're nervous. Even though practically, you know, we just have to issue the best psak we can, but we're nervous about whether we're really issuing the best psak we can, because you know there's emes in a sheker. For the Bali Tosas, you know, why should anyone ever be machmir on anything? Right? Why should we ever be nervous on anything? After all, it's basically a hefkeris. Right? That's sort of the bit of the weakness here, that it seems a little like Hefkeiros here. Like, Hashem really doesn't have an opinion. And the Chavos Yor points out here that that if you assume that there's really Tamei Mitzvos, right? And that's what the Drash Aran also points out, then it's very difficult. If you understand that really the whole point of the Torah is just to remember Hashem by listening to what he says. Then it makes sense. Hashem says, you know, either way you follow, you're remembering me, right? And you're obeying orders. But if you assume that everything in the Torah is there for a reason, because it really has some metaphysical effect, and then Hashem, you know, built the Torah in the world, and the Torah represents the kochos and the olamos elyonim, then, like, you think there should be a right answer there. You know, how can it be that if the machlokis, what to do, that both ways are good and both ways are bad, and, you know, one way has to be better than the other. So this is philosophically very, very challenging. This definitely has some philosophical challenges. I think the weakness of the Chidan Ramoshe says that really, Elu Va'elu sounds like more than this. It really sounds like they're both from Hashem. On the other hand, once they're both from Hashem, then you have another weakness, that it's just, you know, it's, as the Drasha Rana Nechams Yor point out, difficult if there are Tamei HaMitzvos, and it also just doesn't seem to make sense that Hashem shouldn't have an opinion. Like, there really should be a better way and a worse way about things.
There are some things where it's clear that there's no preference, where it's completely true. Hashem doesn't care whether you drink Coke or Pepsi.
Right, there's something that is clear, but the problem is if I say that A is usher and B is mutter, and you say B is usher and A is mutter, then, yeah, it's one thing if you say, look, you know, am I going to say the Shir Shal Yom after Shachris or after Musaf? You could really say, look, Hashem wants you to say the Shir Shal Yom. That doesn't make, that's like, am I going to wear blue shoes or brown shoes? But if you're talking about something much more serious than that, right, if you're talking about, you know, that... I hold, you know, the, but I hold, if you don't say halon yom atzmut, you're a kofer, right? Tzara Sarah, a better one, right? I hold she needs chalitza or else she's doing a lav, right? And you hold that, no, I hold she should do yibam. It's a mitzvah save for her to do yibam. And you hold, no, it's kares for her to do yibam. Then what does it mean Hashem doesn't have a preference? Like, Beis Hillel holds it's kares for her to do yibam. What do you mean Hashem doesn't have a preference? Like, it's okay that it's kares, but if Hashem really doesn't have a preference, how could it be okay that it's kares? It's very philosophically messy. It's very, very difficult, even in Tamei HaMitzvos. In general, it's a big chiddush and hard to explain, you know, many cases. Like, great, like the beginning of the Yevamos. Like, what does it mean Hashem doesn't care either way? Then do you get... Are you chayv kares or not chayv kares? No. Hashem says, whatever you guys decide, I'll be mechayv kares or not. Just put it up to a vote. And until you put it up to a vote, in one time you're chayv kares, in the other time you're not chayv kares. So it's a big chiddush, but it's possible. Hashem is very open-minded. Hashem gives options.
Machlokes is usually very slight. I'll take an example, mitzvah sukkah. So there are Tamei HaMitzvos for mitzvah sukkah. So the machlokes is about the tale about whether mam esrim is kosher and mam esrim is pasul. But like I said, they all agree to the same inyan sukkah. It just happens to be with this particular one application.
No, so you're assuming the details don't have time in the mitzvahs?
So the Rambam writes...
Now, I know you're quoting the Rambam over about the Shiva Kvasim versus the Shmona Kvasim, but that's not how the belt assumes.
Focus is from
okay, could be. Could be. Anyway, yesh malahar on all of these deos. I'm still reserving day number 4 for next week in Meretz Hashem. Next week we will see... Okay, we have another couple of pages. Next week we'll see day number 4, which I think might really be the most attractive one, even though obviously everything has its chesronot v'yitronot. So we'll come back, remember these 3 days next time, and we'll see what possibility we have not yet explored.